Watch Her Get What She Likes. Written by Vorvain. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, word of honor. Rating, explicit. Relationships, Han Ying, Wang Kuxing, Zhou Zhu. Also tagged for alternate universe, gender changes, oral sex. Han Ying lives, obviously. Threesome, female, female, female. Exhibitionism, orgasm delay denial. Power dynamics, hints of humiliation kink. Not pet play, but not completely not pet play. Look, if Han Ying wants to be their obedient, well-kept concubine in her off hours, I feel like she deserves it. Han Ying has been living at Four Seasons Manor for nearly a year before she settles enough to be unsettled by anything less serious than imminent death. The present situation does not remotely resemble imminent death, although at times her muscles clench so tightly and her heart beats so fast that she's not sure her body understands this new kind of danger, which is the Manor Lords. Lord and lady? They seem like husband and wife, for all that there's no man in sight. Once or twice, Wang Kuxing has, in Han Ying's hearing, addressed Zhou Zhu as husband, her lips curling around the word in something like a smirk. Han Ying's breath catches every time. At first, it's no more than that, and the obvious affection between them. Perhaps a little too obvious, but Han Ying is too glad to see them alive and well, to see color in Zhou Zhu's face and her robes hanging smoothly over a less bony frame, to see her smile, to have any room for disapproval over so small a matter as the occasional public kiss. They don't leave it at the occasional public kiss. Han Ying wouldn't be seeing it if she could keep her eyes to herself. But how can she, when Zhou Zhu is laughing? They sit at a table in the small library, leaning into each other, faces painfully intimate, and Han Ying's chest clenches with something. Her fist clenches when she notices Wang Kuxing's hand resting high on Zhou Zhu's thigh. Barely under the table. She drags her eyes away, searching around for some task to focus on and prevent them from shifting back to the pair. She can't stop seeing it after that. Wang Kuxing's arm around Zhou Zhu's waist, her hand trailing down her hip, leaning close to murmur something in Zhou Zhu's ear, pausing to kiss her neck in a way that's far more sensual than a brief brush of lips has any right to be. Sometimes, too, their kisses will lose their quick, barely appropriate affection and become wetter. The Manor Lords don't usually eat dinner with the disciples, preferring their own company or a trusted few companions. And having been invited to some of these evenings, Han Ying is glad to spare the disciples, She doesn't know if they'd be offended or something else. Either way, not a sight for their eyes. It shouldn't, really, be a sight for anyone's eyes. But Chung Ling studiously looks at the ceiling or concentrates on his dinner, or, if it's late and they've had some wine, rolls his eyes at them. And Han Ying tries to do the same. Tries to pretend that Zhou Sixu is an embarrassing older sister, and only succeeds in that night dreaming of being silenced with a warm shh, mei mei, and a finger over her lips. That doesn't help at all. Once, they're in the shadiest spot in the courtyard, lounging in the midday sun. Han Ying sits by them, a scroll of Four Seasons Manor sword techniques in her hands, saving up her questions for a gap in their rambling conversation. Wang Kuxing's arm is slung around Zhou Zixu's shoulder, but it snakes its way under her arm and around to her. Wang Kuxing catches Han Ying's eye, smirking as her hand slips under the first layer of Zhou Zixu's robes to cup her breast. Han Ying, frozen to the spot, catches the moment Zhou Zixu's eyelids flutter before she slaps Wang Kuxing's hand away with an unconvincing glare. Han Ying all but runs away, face burning with anger and embarrassment and hopeless, desperate, frustrated lust. She sees them again a few days later, again in the library. It's not private. Han Ying is here and anyone could wander in, although it's unlikely at this hour. Still, they're... Wang Kuxing's hand is between Zhou Zixu's thighs, under her robes. Han Ying can see the movement under the fabric. Zhou Zixu wears such light, draping clothing these days, in the warm, late spring evening. Perhaps only three layers, in finely made cotton rather than court silk or practical linen and leather. This isn't an affectionate touch, isn't even what you would call a grope. Wang Kuxing's hand moves between Zhou Zixu's legs, inside her perhaps, making her come. The soft sound of movement around fabric gets wetter, acquires a quality of squelch. Han Ying nearly comes just from the clench of her thighs and stomach, hands fisted at her sides. She's still trying to regulate her breathing when Wang Kuxing looks up and looks her right in the eye. Han Ying freezes to the spot. There's no hiding what she was doing, that her stupid childish fantasies and now adult but still deeply disrespectful lust has addled her enough to be so unforgivably presumptuous as to watch them. Wang Kuxing kisses Zhou Zixu and, gaze flickering briefly in Han Ying's direction once again, sucks her own fingers clean. Han Ying can only wait and watch, wondering what her punishment will be, as Wang Kuxing murmurs something into Zhou Zixu's ear and strides in her direction. Wang Kuxing's smile is wicked in the lamplight as she approaches and circles around Han Ying to come up behind her. "I thought so," Wang Kuxing says against her ear, voice low enough that it won't carry to the next room, where Zhou Zixu is rearranging her hair into a messy half-bun. "You can't help yourself, can you? Not that I blame you. I'd have done the same." Breath ghosts over the skin behind her jaw. She shivers. She's so turned on, so close, that the barest touch feels like brushing a hot pan with your fingers. "Well, no," Wang Kuxing continues, turning her head a little so her nose nudges at Han Ying's hairline. "I'd have dealt with my rival and taken her place." Han Ying freezes even more completely. Is Wang Kuxing going to... The possibility that she'll just be gutted for her presumption did not ever cross her mind, and it should have. She tries to assemble her thoughts, but they've scattered in all six directions, and her throat is dry. But you, I think you can share, can't you? Wang Kaxing says, speculative. A hand slides up Han Ying's arm, across her chest. Han Ying shivers in confused fear and arousal, and settles on her neck, giving a light squeeze around her throat. She gives a tiny nod in answer, afraid to move further, but the hand doesn't tighten. There's the warmth of a body behind her, and Han Ying is trapped, as caught as a fish on a line and just as wet. I should open her robe so you can see her tits, Wang Kaxing continues. They're sensitive. She likes them to be grabbed, likes her nipples rubbed and pinched and bitten. Han Ying's thoughts move as slow as the hottest summer days. She only realizes Wang Kaxing probably has no plans to kill her when a hand moves to rest against her lower belly, drawing attention to the involuntary little twitches of her hips. She makes some slight noise. Its whispered hoarseness is more wanton than she'd known she could sound. Ah, you're close, aren't you? Let me give you something to grind against, Wang Kaxing says, as her hand moves lower still, to the cloth-covered gap between her thighs. Han Ying presses her lips together just in time to contain a whimper as her hips move, obeying the implied order. It's barely anything, a slight pressure against her through her own layers of clothing, but she's so close it doesn't matter at all. You can come from just this, Wang Kaxing says, a smirk in her voice. You should. Go on. Han Ying does as she's told, desperate and miserable and not a little afraid, more turned on than she can ever remember. It feels like a betrayal. Of what? She isn't sure. Responsive, aren't you? That didn't take much, Wang Kaxing says, with a puff of breath against her neck that's an unvocalized laugh. Then she draws back, turns to leave, to go back to Zhou Zixu, who is still there. Although the exchange between Han Ying and Wang Kaxing, strange and shameful as it was, took less than a minute. Well, Wang Kaxing says over her shoulder, much louder, pitched to carry. Aren't you coming? Ah, she is to be brought before Zhou Zixu for punishment. Han Ying tries to think of Zhou Zixu as she is now, and not as she was. Cold, without a drop of mercy. Tries to remember that time and that ruthless expression with something other than the current wave of desperation. It doesn't help. She'd thought Zhou Zixu was unbearably beautiful then, too, if more dangerous and completely untouchable. Perhaps just a different kind of dangerous, this. Zhou Zixu has wide hips and a little curve of belly at the front of her neat waist, with Han Ying does not dare to think about this often, with many of the gains of happiness and good health having gone to her chest. Never modest, now voluptuous, she looks more real, a person who eats and drinks and laughs and has sex. A person who could be touched, who does touch Han Ying sometimes. A grasp of her shoulder or her forearm, an occasional touch to her head or hair. She drops to her knees in front of Zhou Zixu before she can even think to meet her eyes, forehead to the floor in shame. But not just shame, in a kind of worship that leaves her feeling raw and sensitive as she never otherwise is. This disobedient servant begs for an appropriate punishment, she says, even though the rote words twist in her mouth and come out breathless a little. It's good. It's right. Zhou Zixu is the manor lord. Wang Kaxing is her wife and partner, and together they lead and run the household and their growing sect. It's only correct that Han Ying should kneel at their feet, bow respectfully for them, do as she's instructed, and thank them for their regard. Thank them for whatever punishment they deem appropriate. She tries not to imagine being caned like a disobedient child. Tries, futilely, not to find that image suddenly so compelling that her cunt throbs. When Hanying looks up, Zhou Zixu does not look angry. She looks a little flushed, in fact. Soft around the eyes, maybe. She has just come, Hanying remembers, biting her tongue. Allow me, Wen Kixing's voice comes from behind. A gracious nod and a noise of assent. Hanying stays silent, under no illusion that this query was for her. Wen Kixing steps around her to kiss Zhou Zixu, a little side on so Hanying can see how wet and deep it is, how Zhou Zixu opens her mouth wantonly, tips her head back and lets her legs shift apart. Wen Kixing pulls back for a moment. How Zhou Zixu chases her lips for an instant after is captivating, and instructs, "Watch." It's not at all clear how this is a punishment, although by now she has surely soaked through her under trousers, which will eventually be uncomfortable. She has not been told to move, though, so she remains kneeling, hands to the floor. She has been told to watch, and so she watches. Wen Kixing loosens Zhou Zixu's belt and pulls her robes open, and as she begins to stroke down Zhou Zixu's chest, pauses to pinch a nipple between two fingers. It is suddenly clear how this is a punishment. Up close, it is torturous to watch Zhou Zixu's head tip back, to see her throat work as she swallows and her chest heave as she pulls in long, shaking breaths, lets out soft gasps. Wen Kixing's long hands aren't large enough to cup her breast fully. Hanying would crawl over glass to touch her. After several impossibly long minutes, Zhou Zixu whacks Wen Kixing on the back of the shoulder, like a rider kicking a recalcitrant horse. "Stop it," she grumbles, utterly undermined by the breathiness in her voice. Wen Kixing laughs softly. "Sorry, sorry," she says, not apologetic in the slightest. "I just thought Ying'er would appreciate the show." "I'm not feeling patient," Zhou Zixu says, biting at Wen Kixing's jaw briefly. "You never are," Wen Kixing agrees, but she opens Zhou Zixu's robes lower and strokes her soft stomach, undoes the ties of her trousers and pulls her underwear off. Zhou Zixu's hips tilt up against Wen Kixing's hand, and the hair between her legs is dark, wet with her cum, Hanying realizes, and a small whine escapes her throat. They both look back at her for the first time, Wen Kixing predatorily, Zhou Zixu with a sort of proud aristocratic version of embarrassment. Her face and sternum are flushed, perhaps with more than arousal, as Hanying kneels more or less between her legs. "Look how eager she is," Wen Kixing says, and the musical lilt to her voice is like an ornately decorated blade. She's leaning as close as she can, like a dog desperate for a treat who's too well-trained to move without permission. It's true, Hanying could die of embarrassment. She hadn't realized she'd moved at all. "I trained her," Zhou Zixu says, archly. Hanying is grateful to be already kneeling, so her suddenly shaking legs don't have to support her. Zhou Zixu looks back at her. "Come here," she orders. Hanying crawls forward, pauses once she's within reach of Zhou Zixu's hands. "Closer," Zhou Zixu says, and she obeys. Zhou Zixu directs her with one knee and cants her hips to meet Hanying's face. Hanying feels like a dog, like a starving dog that can't believe it's being offered a steak dinner. She tries not to bury her face in Zhou Zixu's cunt and moan helplessly. She does moan at the first taste, as she presses one reverent kiss over Josephine's clit and gives her a long, slow lick. Beyond the ability to restrain herself more than she is, she can only let herself moan while she tries to be useful with her mouth and not just enjoy the taste and warmth of Josephine's softest skin. Wenkishing says, "She likes to follow directions, Ashu. Put your hand in her hair." Then there's a hand fisted in her hair, not pulling to the point of pain, but certainly directing her. And Josephine's hips grind into her face, and she wails, desperate. Humiliatingly, she likes it more even than Josephine seems to. Why is it like this, that she's on the floor serving her lord and still she cannot give more pleasure than she gets? The strength of her own lust is too much to match. She'd debase herself far more than this for a taste of Josephine. Gladly. She tries not to imagine the things a person could make her do to earn this again. She's crying by the time Josephine comes, without letting her stop and breathe. Grateful, overwhelmed tears that get lost in damp skin. Wenkishing's presence behind her comes closer. A hand flips up the layers of her robes, slides down her under trousers. In a horrible tease, the only touch is the brush of cloth against her skin. When Wenkishing finally does touch her, long fingers trailing down her tailbone and between her damp thighs, she wails aloud and Josephine's hips jerk. "Use your fingers," Josephine directs. Hanying gladly slides two fingers inside, sighs in pleasure at the velvet feel of her, fucks her gently until a tug at her hair prompts her to go faster, harder, as if she's a horse to be ridden, directed by reins until she's trained well enough to respond to her rider's more subtle movements of hips and legs and shifts of weight. Wenkishing places the back of her fingers gently against Hanying's cunt, parts her lips, then slides two fingers over her clit and nearly up to her ass, then back down again. Slow, not light enough to tickle, but without enough speed or pressure to be anything but a tease. The disparity is dizzying. Josephine's panting breaths and Wenkishing's patient fingers. Hanying can feel by the twitch of muscles that Josephine is close again. "Don't let me distract you," Wenkishing says. Her voice is so warm and smooth, low for a woman's, though not at all masculine. And while Hanying has been in love with Josephine for years, and only a fool would fail to notice Wenkishing, it's not until this moment that she realizes. She's been looking away, looking at unattainable Josephine to save herself from learning that Wenkishing's voice makes her drip, and her face, the way her mouth plays with a smirk, the way her laughter holds a blade, her posture full of languid grace that whispers, "Want me if you dare." Hanying dares. The first time they met, Wenkishing wrapped a hand gossamer light around her throat, and her breathing stopped. No greater threat was necessary. She only looked away because neither of them were for her to look at. In any case, she needn't look now. Her eyes slipped closed as soon as her mouth touched Josephine's cunt. "What are we punishing you for, Yingar?" Wenkishing asks, and her slow, stroking fingers pause to pinch Hanying's clit lightly between them. It's not pain that makes her gasp. In truth, there isn't any. But the threat of it. She moans against Josephine's cunt, helpless, caught, failing now to keep especially still as Josephine's fist tightens in her hair and she fucks herself on Hanying's fingers. She can't answer, of course. Her mouth is otherwise in use. But please aches on the tip of her tongue as Josephine lets out a long, loud groan and comes, smothering Hanying's face, briefly constricting her breath. A moment later, the grip on her hair relaxes and tugs her to the side. Hanying rests her face on Josechu's thigh, where she's been put, panting. "I looked," she manages. "Can't completely remember what about this required punishment, though the rightness of being on her knees sings through her, and nothing has felt much like punishment so far. Josechu wanted to come first, wanted Hanying to make her come, which is surely a privilege, but it's not as if it's up to her to decide." "It's not for looking," Wang Kaxing says. Her fingers begin to move again, a little faster than before. Hanying stays where she has been put. She was told not to move, and hopes her shivering hips don't count as moving, since she isn't sure she could stop. "It's for hiding," Wang Kaxing continues. "You were looking at us, but you kept looking away." "Once you even ran away," Josechu says. "You would have run away this time too, wouldn't you, if Lao Wen hadn't caught you?" She sighs and shifts her legs together, as though it's a great effort. Then her voice does something Hanying has never heard before, had never imagined hearing. It takes on a hint of a pout. "Ying'er, you made us wait so long." "And, oh, of course she should be punished then. Josechu has been wanting?" Hanying bites her lip to control a full-body shudder that wanted to course through her and push her hips demanding against Wang Kaxing's hand. She thought she knew what it was to ache with want before, but her body has never been so insistent that it wants to be fucked. "So you're going to wait," Josechu says. "You won't be allowed to come now, and keep your hands off yourself until we say so." Hanying nods in desperate acquiescence, though she wants to plead for Wang Kaxing's fingers inside her. She'll come if Wang Kaxing fucks her. She'll come if she speeds up at all. "That made her wetter," Wang Kaxing observes, slyly. "You like that?" Josechu sounds both incredulous and huffy. "I didn't even say how long. What if we made you wait for weeks?" Hanying whimpers and only tries to nod again, feeling her own thighs tremble. This is a punishment now. She'll take it, of course. She'll take whatever they want to give her. She's going to be in bed later with her hands curled into fists at her side, thinking about them. She's going to be squeezing her legs together, overwhelmingly close as she is now, every night for however long they leave her. What if they leave her for weeks? She isn't sure what she'd do. Beg, probably. Get on her knees again and beg for it. It isn't difficult to imagine Wang Kaxing making her do something to earn the privilege. "I'd wait," she manages. Wang Kaxing makes a strange, almost angry sort of noise, and her fingers once again nearly pinch Hanying's clit again as if in punishment. There is some pain this time. And Hanying nearly comes, has to clench her teeth to hold it. She's lost herself a little, moaning into Josechu's thigh, hips pushing back against Wang Kaxing's fingers, begging in the way her mouth won't. Can't, and also won't, since there's no use. This is a punishment. "Please," she says against Josechu's thigh. Her whole body is shaking now, holding back her orgasm. "Please what? You know you're not allowed to come," Wang Kaxing says. "So stop moving." She stops, somehow, and finds, mortifyingly, that Wang Kaxing's hand wasn't moving at all, that it was all her, desperately rubbing her cunt against Wang Kaxing's fingers. Something like a sob escapes her lips. Wang Kaxing's fingers are resting against her still. "So obedient," Wang Kaxing praises, finally withdrawing and shifting to stroke Han Ying's hair with her other hand. How did her words become so sweet? Han Ying presses against her hand and wishes she could touch more of her. Don't you think, Ashu? She wants so badly to be good. Wenkixing puts her fingers in her own mouth and licks them clean of Han Ying's slick. Han Ying shivers, and she tastes good. Greedy, Zhou Shixu says. Well, I'll clean her up then. And then, before Han Ying can get her thoughts even halfway in order, Zhou Shixu has slid off the desk and walked behind her, where she's still bent over and exposed, and then her tongue laves slowly over Han Ying's cunt, not as if to give pleasure, but just as if she's licking juices from a plate. Han Ying clings to the edge of the desk with both hands and bites her lip around a sound that might have been a scream. She's still close. She's still so close. She bears it, bears Zhou Shixu making satisfied sounds as she licks up Han Ying's slick. It's something of a futile effort, as Zhou Shixu's tongue only makes her wetter. Zhou Shixu says, eventually pulling back. You're a greedy slut too, Ying'er. Han Ying makes an inchoate noise, gutted suddenly by Zhou Shixu's meanness. Of course Lord Zhou can be mean. Han Ying has seen her far crueler, but never thought to wonder if she'd be cruel to a lover. The way she rearranges Han Ying's clothes for her feels cruel too, though gentled by the way they both move to get her on her feet. Once there, they smile at her, though Wang Kaxing seems a little wild with it, while Zhou Shixu's smile is satiated. Good night, Ying'er, they say in rough concert. Then they each press a soft, slow kiss to her mouth and depart arm in arm. Good night, my lords, Han Ying says to empty air. A few days later, Han Ying goes for a walk in the middle of the night. She needs something, some air, the cool midnight breeze on her face. Perhaps it will blow away the hot restlessness and let her sleep. Though just at present, her dreams are vivid. Her feet, without her say-so, walk her past the master suite, and she only realizes where she's going on hearing, well, the sounds a couple make in private. Usually in private, anyway, though they're louder for the assumption of privacy. They're talking, low and rough, and Han Ying can't make out the words, but she can hear their moans, twining between them. It's all just sounds, pleasure, overwhelm, orgasm. And Han Ying presses her back against the wall and tries to keep breathing, since walking on has proved a lost cause. That was Zhou Shixu's orgasm, she now knows. She wonders what Wang Kaxing sounds like when she comes. Han Ying shakes in the dark stillness, trying to regain her composure. The door slides open, making her jump. She'd heard no footsteps. Can't sleep? Wang Kaxing asks, her sly grin visible even in the darkness. Ashu is so cruel to leave you untouched this long. It's her, of course. I'm the merciful one. Her thumb traces over Han Ying's mouth, but leaves before she can think to open her mouth. Wang Kaxing's hand trails over her, unhesitating, down to the notch at the base of her throat, over the single layer of her sleeping robe, to pinch one hardened nipple, then around her waist, down her hip to her thigh, then between them. Long-nailed fingers dig into her inner thigh, where she's soft and sensitive. Please, Han Ying whispers, not even sure quite what for. Another hand joins the first and shoves her legs apart in a casual show of strength that shouldn't be as much of a surprise as it is. Hunying is hardly easy to throw around, under normal circumstances. One warm thigh moves into the gap, and Wang Kaxing leans in, pressing Hunying against the wall through her braced leg, only the single layer of her robe between them. I won't let you come, of course, until Ashu says, Wang Kaxing tells her, moving her hands to Hunying's hips. But I think you should get a little relief after waiting so long. She doesn't move then, only raises one eyebrow, expression just visible on her shadowed face. Her hands pull Hunying's hips, and Hunying understands, finally, she must move. Wang Kaxing watches hungrily, one canine pinching her bottom lip, as Hunying hesitantly presses her cunt against Wang Kaxing's firm thigh and begins to move her hips. After a week of not touching herself at all, washing quickly in cold water and waking up panting and wet, she has no control of herself at all, and it's seconds before pleasure overcomes embarrassment enough for her to move unhesitatingly, clutching at Wang Kaxing's robe and biting her lip to avoid waking anyone. Wang Kaxing doesn't help her. She just watches as Hunying fucks herself, hands resting on Hunying's hips as if to feel her movement. Then one hand moves to cover Hunying's mouth. Ah, she forgot to control herself and had begun letting out sounds. And Hunying feels feverish, drugged, strung out and desperate with the friction against her bare cunt, now leaking onto Wang Kaxing's robe. She wants everything. She wants to fling herself fully against Wang Kaxing, wants to kiss her, wants to pull Wang Kaxing's hands under her robes and ask her to pinch and scratch and squeeze. She wants to be allowed to come like this, to drop to her knees in front of Wang Kaxing and beg to kiss her cunt, her feet, anywhere. That's enough, Wang Kaxing says, and Hunying manages to stop, somehow. Manages to hold herself up on shaking legs as Wang Kaxing withdraws her thigh, then her hands. It's an effort not to whine at the loss. What a sweet little slut you are, she continues, moving back in to place a soft kiss on Hunying's neck. So good to play with. Another kiss on her throat this time. It's impossible to do anything but tilt her head back and plead mutely for more. Go back to bed, Wang Kaxing continues, breath trailing goosebumps over her skin. And fuck yourself exhausted. Like this, don't use your fingers. Hunying nods fervently. She'll do as she's told, of course. Wang Kaxing drops one last kiss on her mouth and turns to pad silently back into her bedroom. Before she can tear herself away, before her legs deign to work underneath her, she hears first a sleepy grumble, then a soft moan. Not Joseph Xu's moan. Wang Kaxing is going to... Well, Hunying doesn't know exactly, of course. But there's another inaudible murmur and another moan, and Hunying will surely come untouched if she stays to listen to this, or suffer some other humiliation, like dripping on the floor. She staggers back to her own bedroom, kicks off her shoes, and wraps the first strip of cloth she can find over her pillow to sit astride like she did Wang Kaxing's thigh. It takes her only a few minutes to be a hair's breadth from orgasm again. And then, nerves so fried she's almost angry, she stops to breathe, to let her pleasure dissipate into a desperate ache. How long will they leave her? Is this some kind of initial test? Or would they leave her like this if they took her to bed and kept her there some nights? She could be just a tool for someone else's pleasure, a sweeter use than she's known before. She's been ill-used in her loyalty and trust, but never by Joseph Xu. Maybe she'll have to beg to be allowed to please them. Maybe they'll fuck in front of her and she'll kneel next to the bed, clenching her fists to hold back the urge to reach out to touch them, to look too long and too greedily, trying to keep her eyes on the floor no matter what sounds and moans she hears that nevertheless fill in a vivid picture. Maybe, if she's good, she'll be allowed to crawl between Josechu's legs and gently lick her clean. What if they kept her like that, her mouth and hands for Josechu to come on, if she pleased, and for Wang Kaxing to tease? What if they never let her come? And like the Emperor's concubines, never let anyone else touch her? What if the last orgasm she ever has is Wang Kaxing's hand rubbing over her clothes? In terrible irony, the thought nearly makes her come, and she wrenches her hand away, more turned on than she'd thought possible. It takes a few more rounds of bringing herself to the edge, and then breathing, letting it go, before she sweats and writhes herself to exhaustion. Strangely, sleep comes quickly. She's just finished a very swift, very cold bucket bath after that afternoon's training session when she comes across them again. By now, she knows it's intentional. Josechu was a spymaster once, and she knows how to track a mark. It probably should not make her warm between her legs to think of it that way. But truthfully, a passing breeze makes her warm between her legs these days. That, too, is Josechu's doing. Although, if Wang Kaxing claimed to have no hand in it, other than the literal hands she's had on Han Ying's body, Han Ying would be sure she'd been lied to. They're in the main study when Han Ying comes in. Few enter during the day. No one at all in the evening. Since truthfully, it's the manor lord's study, and nearly everyone must knock and wait to be called. All but Han Ying and Cheng Ling, who reliably falls into an exhausted heap at the end of the day's training, and can barely be impressed upon to read comic verse, never mind the contents of this study. Through the gap in the screens to the other side of the large divided room, there's the sound of laughter. Josechu is in Wang Kaxing's lap, legs wrapped around her. Even through layers of robes, her ass is plump and round. "Shall I leave you?" she asks, daring to make her presence known. They've known every time she's seen them. They want her at least some portion as much as she wants them. What's the use in further sneaking? She's no longer appearing through a skylight, separate and unseen. There's no need to. She can look and be seen in return, if she can bear their gaze on her naked body. Just now, she'd bear nearly anything to be touched. To come, she hopes, though a streak of her would like, in some twisted way, for the torture to continue. To be strung out and fucked and used and denied again and again and again until she's screamed her throat hoarse and she doesn't remember how to be anything else but theirs. "No," Josechu says, turning her head to look over her shoulder at Han Ying. "Come here, kiss me." She taps a finger against her neck and, carefully, Han Ying pads forward and kneels behind her to place a careful kiss there, her smell filling Han Ying's nose. From here, Han Ying can see that her robes are open at the front, that she's wearing nothing underneath the underrobe, that her plush thighs part naked over Wang Kaxing's lap. "More," Josechu directs, tilting her head. Han Ying obeys, kisses down her neck and over her shoulder, dares to ease the layers of fabric back until her whole front is exposed. She's a feast. Han Ying barely knows what to do, where to put her hands, what Josechu will permit or what she'll enjoy. Ah, but Wang Kaxing had said, Han Ying strokes her hands down her breasts, as generously proportioned as the rest of her, and as astonishing under Han Ying's hands as to her eyes, and thumbs over her nipples, gently, questioning. Josechu arches into the touch like a cat and tips her head back to rest against Han Ying's shoulder. Ah, she's so warm. Her hair spills, shining over Han Ying's chest and arm, and Han Ying has self-control, perhaps too much self-control sometimes. But she's not made of ice, and there's nothing on earth that would stop her turning her face to bury it against Jo Seju's hair. It's as soft and silky as cat's fur, too, and smells of her. It's a familiar smell, different from the smell of sex. Just one that's found Han Ying's nose faintly before, during training, once or twice when she stood particularly close. She inhales deeply, indulgently. When she looks up, Wen Kaxing is looking right at her, a knowing smirk on her face, eyes dark and intent. She does something outside of Han Ying's line of sight, and Jo Seju gasps and arches again, pushing her hips forward into Wen Kaxing and pressing her back against Han Ying's chest. Han Ying can feel the thrust of Wen Kaxing's hand as it moves Jo Seju, and her body knows Wen Kaxing's touch enough to crave it just as much as she craves feeling more of Jo Seju's skin. Her hands remember their purpose, stroking everywhere she can reach, and returning to Jo Seju's nipples when she feels the faint scrape of teeth against her neck. Feeling daring, how much can she ask for? How much is she allowed to want? Han Ying turns her head towards Jo Seju's mouth to press a kiss to her lips. There's a moment of worry that she's crossing a line of some kind, but Jo Seju opens her mouth, hot and greedy, and comes a few moments later, panting into Han Ying's mouth. Han Ying is panting too. She doesn't want to stop whatever this is, but Jo Seju peels herself off Han Ying's chest, just enough to shrug her robes haphazardly back on and closed. She stands, swings her leg over Wen Kaxing's lap as easily as dismounting a horse. "Ah, Shu," Wen Kaxing says, eyes gone from Han Ying now. It's obvious why Jo Seju loves Wen Kaxing to look at her, whatever her amused protests. The rest of the world falls away when she focuses her sharp, predator's gaze on you alone. Han Ying is not even bereft without it, merely relieved that she's only sometimes the focus. "What do you want?" Her hands reach forward to grab. Jo Seju takes one and uses it to yank her to standing. Wen Kaxing goes, inelegant with surprise. "Come to bed," Jo Seju says. Her eyes sweep imperiously over the pair of them as she reties her belt. "Both of you." Then she turns towards the exit, entirely confident that they'll follow her. They will, of course. Wen Kaxing's hand between Han Ying's shoulder blades, encouraging her forward, feels both warm and more solicitous than it seems as if it should.
"You look good from the back, too," she says,
and Han Ying leans into her touch a little. She's done so before, but as with kissing Jo Seju, it feels different to lean into affectionate touch than go out of her mind fucking herself on Wen Kaxing's fingers. An even less familiar intimacy in her experience. Their room is familiar to her, large and a trifle disorganized. That she's been here before should have been pertinent information, but her usually sharp instincts were distorted by the subject of being herself and by the unbelievability of what she was seeing. Han Ying has never been seduced before. People have wanted her, and she's availed herself, or she hasn't. People have been targets or informants, and so occasionally she's used that wanting. In her guises, she's been deliberately invisible. A servant of some sort. She was best at being a servant. None of Jo Seju's well-taught skill in playing some vapid court member. Elegant but spoiled. "All disguises are true, or they aren't believable," Jo Seju had told her once. In a way, both Jo Seju and Wen Kaxing, and really even Han Ying, are in disguise here. in disguise as regular people, with no past beyond everyday petty cruelty. In another way, this is the least disguised they've ever been. They fold her into bed, shedding clothes. She watches as they lose themselves in kisses for a few moments, Josezhu removing Wang Kixing's belt and opening her robes. Her body is so long and lean, she looks dangerous and a trifle underfed in the rangy way of a predator in winter. Han Ying isn't sure what to do, with Wang Kixing on her back and Josezhu kneeling over her. But when they part a little, and Wang Kixing tugs her arm, "Lie here," she says, indicating, "and Ashu will ride your face." Josezhu goes a trifle pink, but Han Ying lies eagerly. She can see a little, but Josezhu's stomach and the underside of her breasts, as Josezhu grinds her clit against Han Ying's mouth. But she can hear kisses, rough movement, fabric, and Wang Kixing's moans as Josezhu makes her come. Wang Kixing pants out high, breathy little sounds as she gets closer, cries out gasping and shivery while she comes. Oddly delicate, when nothing about her seems delicate. Josezhu shows no sign of stopping, even though Wang Kixing makes little ahs of oversensitivity, keeps going as she comes wetly on Han Ying's face, until Wang Kixing says, "Please, Ashu, no more." When she finally relents and climbs off Han Ying. Wang Kixing's eyes are wild. Her face is pale, but her chest is flushed and heaving. She brings her knees together as Han Ying sits up. It's not shyness, she thinks. Han Ying isn't sure what it is. "Let me see you," she thinks, and doesn't say. "Let me kneel for you." But the shadow of tension disappears from Wang Kixing's face as she turns on her side to kiss Josezhu, then makes a sharp, commanding gesture with one hand to bring Han Ying closer. Han Ying doesn't know what to expect next, but being laid between them wasn't it. They strip off her clothing down to the last stitch, four hands moving everywhere, across her neck and between her thighs and over her hip. Wang Kixing's body is as hot as a furnace, pressed against her back, even through cloth where she's allowed her robes to fall closed. Josezhu kisses her again, and Han Ying would let them have almost anything. "You've made Ashu come so much, you should get a reward." "And you," Josezhu says, which Han Ying doesn't quite follow. She hasn't touched Wang Kixing yet, not to make her come. She could. The desire now to have Wang Kixing hold her in place by the hair and direct Han Ying's mouth over her clit is nearly as strong as for Josezhu. But when she tries to move, a firm hand on her hip stops her. Wang Kixing's mouth moves to her neck, leaves a kiss, and then sinks her teeth in. Han Ying lets out a shivery breath and jerks in her grip, an animal between a set of jaws ready to shake her apart. "We're going to take care of you," Josezhu says, and moves her hand to Han Ying's stomach and strokes down to the trimmed thatch of hair there, pressing a little against the base of her clit. "Open your legs," Wang Kixing instructs, and Han Ying does so without thinking, her body moving faster than thought. A quiet inhale as Josezhu's hand slides up her inner thigh and over her cunt. "She's so wet," she says, spreading Han Ying's cunt with her fingers to stroke where she's even wetter. Untouched for a week, surrounded by the smell and sound and taste of sex, of them. Of course she's wet. You could put anything inside her of a reasonable size just now, and it'd slide right in. Someone's cock, a toy, three fingers or four.
She only wants them right now. Can only really remember wanting them this much. But she'd take a cock if they told her to. If they'd like to watch her be fucked. Wet sounds fill the air as Josechu strokes her with one hand. Not quite dipping inside, no matter how she angles her hips. And with the other, strokes over her tits. They aren't anything noteworthy. Not high and pert like Wenka Xing's. Not round and heavy like Josechu's. And not especially sensitive. Though she'd like Josechu's hands on her anywhere. She breathes a little heavier as Josechu's hand gets rougher. And when Josechu shuffles down and takes one nipple between her teeth, firmer than just a nibble, she gasps, half in surprise. Josechu grazes the suddenly tight flesh with her bottom teeth, and then bites again, a little harder, and a flicker of lightning sizzles down her meridians. Ugh, she likes that, Wenka Xing says, smoothing a hand over her hip, then moving it back to give her ass a sharp little smack that makes her shiver in nothing but pleasure. Josechu's face is captivated. Captivating. She draws back a little to slap where she's just bitten. Once. Twice. Then soothes the sensitized skin with her lips. Don't you? Wenka Xing prompts. Places her hand on the skin she slapped and cruelly doesn't move it. Yes, Hanying says in a whisper. She can't quite summon the breath to speak. What do you like? Wenka Xing gives the skin on her thigh a little pinch, just below her ass. Anything, she says, liking that too. Another pinch, the flesh above her hip bone. It doesn't feel good, as the slaps do. It feels a little cruel, and the edge of Wenka Xing's cruelty feels good. Everything you do to me. Wenka Xing lets out some rough noise, and her hand clenches hard where it rests on Han Ying's hip, fingers and nails digging into her flesh, shaking her a little. When she speaks again, her voice has a quality of a clenched jaw. It's nothing at all like the thick, honey-sweet, teasing cruelty of the last time. But right now, specifically. I like that, you're slapping me, Hanying begins, and receives another on the side of her tit. Josechu's hand had paused on her chest, perhaps watching. Every time she looks up, Josechu's eyes are on her, as bright and focused as Hanying has ever seen them. She can only meet them for a moment before lowering her gaze. Where? I like you slapping my tits, my ass, she manages through the hot flush of embarrassment. Making her speak this aloud is the cruelest thing Wenka Xing has done, and she wants it. Make me, she thinks, without object. The object is nothing in particular. It's the fact of being made to that's burning her up. I'd like it in other places. My legs, probably. She has a vision and can't hold it back. My face. Someone growls. Later. She thinks, at first, it's Wenka Xing. A very belated moment later, her ears inform her it was Josechu, whose face twists briefly into a snarl. Hanying remembers a cold Josechu, a distant Josechu, whose moments of private warmth slowly froze over a decade and changed since Hanying had met her. The warmth has returned this past year. Hanying has never seen so much heat in her face, a scorching desert heat, shocking in its intensity. It should feel dangerous to be naked under it. But though her skin burns everywhere Josechu's hands have touched, she arches towards it. She's held in her own longing and desperation for so long. Even if it hurts her, she never wants to be cold again. Josechu's hand leaves her cunt
and she angles herself better to keep slapping Hanying's tits, pausing at uneven intervals to brush the warm, flushed skin with her wet fingers. Wang Kaxing's hand replaces it nearly seamlessly, sliding over Hanying's clit, then dipping inside, slowly going deeper, beginning to really fuck her. As Wang Kaxing's fingers find no resistance and Hanying's moans grow louder, she's shaking. She feels so much. It's so much. She hasn't come in what feels like forever, though it's not as if a week without an orgasm is unprecedented for her. "You don't have to hold back anymore," Zhou Sixu says. "You can come. You're allowed." Hanying's stomach drops and she comes nearly instantly, shivering and jerking through it for a long, long time. "I'm sorry," she says when she can speak again. "I didn't mean to. I didn't realize I was..." She finds to her dismay that her face is wet, her breathing shaky, not just with orgasm, but with tears. The hand between her legs hasn't stopped. Wang Kaxing is still fucking her, moving her other hand around to rub her clit, and she wants to say it's too much, but is it? "There's no need for that. It's okay," Zhou Sixu says, her hands lifting to brush away Han Ying's tears. "It's all right. You did well," she reassures in a brisk voice, brows pinched in concentration, as if that will fool anyone into missing the gentleness of her lips as she places kisses across Han Ying's face. "You were so good for us." Wang Kaxing must know or guess she's somehow both more and less sensitive after orgasm. The rhythm and pressure of her touch has changed to accommodate. She wants Han Ying to feel this overwhelmed. She wants to keep fucking Han Ying while she cries. Maybe it's all right then that she's crying. Her stomach muscles want to squeeze and make her cry harder, and she lets it happen as Wang Kaxing murmurs into her ear. "Good, that's it. Let it out." Hanying comes again, sobs through her second orgasm barely 2 minutes after the first, feels herself clench tight around Wang Kaxing's long fingers. When her eyes will focus again, she sees Zhou Sixu giving Wang Kaxing a dark look over her shoulder. "What?" Hanying can't see her face, but the tone of Wang Kaxing's voice makes Hanying imagine her impish grin. "We left her so pent up. She deserved another." Zhou Sixu almost possessively replaces Wang Kaxing's hand with hers, the other grasping the side of her neck to angle her for a kiss. Wang Kaxing's hand tangles at the roots of her hair. "You come like Ashu, don't you?" she says. "Can you come over and over without stopping?" "I don't know," Hanying says. She usually has one and stops. It's as good an endpoint as any. Surely one is enough. Two is already an embarrassment of riches. Maybe she says this aloud. Zhou Sixu growls and fucks her deeper, slower, adjusting her angle so she can press against Hanying's clit with her thumb. "I think you can," Wang Kaxing says. "I think we can make you come some more for us." They nudge her forwards until she's half on her front, sprawled over Zhou Sixu. Wang Kaxing presses against her back, strokes her thighs, gives her a few spanks as Zhou Sixu fucks her. It's a relief to let her legs splay, to not have to hold them open. When Wang Kaxing spreads them wider, she tries to help, but her leg muscles have turned to liquid and all she can do is let herself be moved. Some unmeasurable time later, she comes again, being kissed thoroughly, deeply, with a faint taste of blood. There's a brief reprieve then. Zhou Sixu leaves her fingers where they are for a few moments, still. And then, when Han Ying's breathing has settled again, she gently begins to stroke her clit. Han Ying squirms in sensitivity, but doesn't ask them for mercy. Doesn't want mercy, really. even if it were more painful than it is. If they want to see her squirm and wail in pain, she'd take pain. But they're taking her apart with pleasure just as masterfully. It probably works better, even. Some never quite quiescent part of her offers. She has a great deal more tolerance for pain. Wang Kixing lays kisses on the back of her neck and presses the pad of one finger. Han Ying shivers at the touch in an unexpected place, against her asshole. People do that, of course, but she hasn't. She's had a fair amount of sex generally, but little of that was especially inventive. She's used to a mission, or, on occasion, a pastime, to watching faces with satisfaction and warm pleasure while she works her mouth and hips and hands. She isn't used to tumbling into some cavernous space at the bottom of her, to drowning in sensation, to two women who make her burn every time she looks at them. She can't see much here but Zhou's skin. That seems right. She nuzzles it, seeking sensation, feels the soft laugh that works its way out of Zhou's chest and ribcage, reverberate through the bones of her skull. The cleft of her ass is slippery with her wetness already, all the way to her tailbone, and one careful finger slides inside easily. Ugh, she lets out in surprise. She'd heard it could be more difficult. Does Ying'er like it this way? Wang Kixing asks, teasing, but meaning it. I think so, she says, the best reply she has. It's Wang Kixing's finger in her, so she's predisposed to like it. But the cold part of her says, it doesn't matter if I like it. It matters if they like it. She likes when Zhou tells her she's been good. She likes when Wang Kixing laughs her mean laugh, finding some new place to slap or pinch or bite. She likes when they make her come and when they don't. And she likes the way they look at her when she's pleased them, whether it's want or possessiveness or satisfaction or that dark, vicious look Wang Kixing wears when she's saying something that makes Han Ying both turned on and ashamed. She just wants to be looked at, as if she's something important, something worth keeping. And Wang Kixing can put her fingers anywhere she likes, and Han Ying will thank her for allowing her to be useful. I'll give you more. Wang Kixing gathers more slick with her other hand. Han Ying is so wet that there's a small puddle on the sheets underneath her and presses two fingers inside. It's a stretch, a little achy, but it presses against her insides in a good way, especially when Zhou cautiously begins to fuck her again and they push her over the crest of a slow, shuddery orgasm and then don't stop, kissing her, kissing each other over her shoulder. You're being so good, Wang Kixing says. So obedient, lying there and taking what we give you and coming for us so sweetly. She's always been good, Zhou Zixu says, voice full of warm approval. Han Ying buries her face in Zhou Zixu's shoulder. She can't look at her face, can only shake and pant in their hands. She didn't know her body could do this, that it had this much sensation inside it. They know better. They know what to do with her, how to touch and grab and hit her to make her wet, desperate, pliant, how to make her come and come and come. Being bracketed by them feels so good it almost hurts, like the unmaking relief of pressing on a tight muscle that aches in release. Will you keep being good for us? Will you give Ashu your mouth whenever she wants you? Wang Kixing asks, intent with her voice and her hand. Zhou Zixu's answering shiver is almost better than the words. And then she reaches for Han Ying's hand and tugs it between her own legs. Han Ying's hands aren't working very well, but Josiju squeezes her thighs together and rocks against her hand. Hanying nods as fervently as she can. She doesn't even have to think about it. There are so few things she would ever deny her lord.
Will you spread your legs for me when I tell you to?
Wang Kaxing continues. Hanying's lungs feel weak, but she forces in a breath anyway. She knows what Wang Kaxing is really asking. Yes, she says. Anything, please let me serve you. She dares to go on, dares to voice the other thing she wants and has not been offered. Please let me make you come. Wang Kaxing's reply is a vicious bite to the back of Hanying's shoulder, and Josiju shakes then, her thigh muscles jumping around Hanying's hand.
Shimei, she says, sounding hoarse and raw.
Shimei, ah! And then she's coming in long, unvoiced gasps. Wang Kaxing breathes raggedly into the bite mark on Hanying's shoulder and presses all her weight against her. And Hanying comes with a deep, punched-out groan she's only ever heard from herself before in terrible pain. She's not in terrible pain. She's floating. She's lying on something soft, surrounded by the smell of sex and Josiju. And there's movement and a warm washcloth. Something soft and linen goes under her hips. After a period of quiet, Josiju speaks.
It's okay if that was just sex talk, Shimei. You didn't really know what you were promising.
Josiju strokes her hair so gently. Wang Kaxing kisses her neck as she's cleaning her and arranging them. Hanying stiffens.
I don't know, she says, and tries hard to herd her thoughts into a sensible order.
They don't wish to be herded. Everything is still hazy in a way that was pleasant until a moment ago, and now is something else. She did know what she was promising. She thought she'd meant it, and she'd hoped.
I don't know what you want.
Ah, Shu, Wang Kaxing says.
Don't. You know she meant it, and so did we.
Hanying lets out a breath, manages to release her grip on Josiju's wrist.
But,
Josiju says, gesturing vaguely to Wang Kaxing with one frustrated hand. The other, now freed, has returned to stroking Hanying's temple, more firmly now. Hanying's pulse is steadying, without her having to breathe it steady herself. Wang Kaxing sighs expressively and sits down on the bed next to them, rests her hand on Hanying's back. More of the sudden tension uncoils from her belly and slips away.
We want to keep you, Ying'er, she says, in a hesitant sort of tone.
There's a pause. Over her head, they're speaking to each other without words, she thinks, as they often do.
We don't
have that many people. Josiju's hand on her pauses. Fingers slide through her hair as if to grasp, but don't.
Those left are precious.
Hanying presses her head against Josiju's hand, tangling her fingers in her hair. Her foot stretches out behind her and finds Wang Kaxing's leg, hooks around it. She senses, somehow, that they need to be held onto. The way they touch and lean into each other in public is not just lecherous or affectionate. Hanying's mind offers slowly, like drips of honey. It's fascinating and possessive, a literal coupling, a chain between them they're constantly reinforcing, constantly feeling for the pull of.
Wrap me in it, Hanying thinks, helpless.
Don't let me go. I won't let you. And quiet, even in her own mind.
I'll help hold it fast.
Yes, Wang Kaxing says. Precious. Hanying sighs, satisfied then. She can almost feel the chain looped around her neck, but it's only Wen Kaxing's arm sliding under her neck, wrapping in front to touch Josishu's hand, to cover it where it tangles in Han Ying's hair. It's affection and it's a quiet binding, but there's a little hint there of how they've been talking to her, as if she's a child or a much beloved pet, but not quite either of those. Maybe just as if she's theirs. It makes her cunt flutter faintly, though it'll be a while before she truly wants to be touched there. She doesn't want them to move their arms from where they're wrapped around her neck. She reaches her own wobbling arm to hold them too, finds Wen Kaxing's arm and pulls it closer. It really is around her neck now. It's restraint, a comfort. Wen Kaxing buries her face in Han Ying's hair and inhales. 7 months later. One morning, Han Ying is missing from breakfast. There is much gossip. Han Ying is never missing from breakfast unless she's away on a mission. And she's been on those less and less frequently over the past months, the manor lords unwilling to spare her and pleased to send her well-trained juniors. What she was doing instead is... Han Ying is dressing in her own room when Josishu comes through the door and lifts her out of her bow, but only to encourage her to kneel with one hand in her hair. She leans back against the wall and parts her casual morning robes, wearing nothing underneath, and Han Ying leans forward eagerly to taste her. "My bed was empty and cold this morning," she complains unheededly, sighing in pleasure as Han Ying expertly tongues her clit. She patiently and exactingly instructed Han Ying in how to please her best, and Han Ying is proud to be as well trained in this as she ever was in martial arts and espionage. Prouder, in this way, she can serve her lord with uncomplicated pleasure and enjoy the results of her efforts. "My wife gets up with the sun, and my favorite disciple was absent." Han Ying's breath catches. There's been a schedule, loose but understood. Han Ying does not spend every night in their bed. Perhaps a night in every 5 or 6. Perhaps 2 nights in a row on occasion. She is pleased to be so often wanted. She was in her lord's bed only the night before last, although this is hardly the first time Josishu has wanted her incidentally. She suffers with her monthlies since the nails, and though medicine helps, in the few days of aches and cramps before she bleeds, she will often request Han Ying's mouth. If her grouchy, bossy manner at those times is nothing but an incentive to Han Ying, well, it's not something she's tried to hide. Josishu comes easily, quickly, as if she awoke already wet and wanting. The image makes Han Ying moan. Did she dream? Dream of Wen Kaxing's fingers, or perhaps of Han Ying's tongue? She's pulled back by the hair after that, and only just holds in a whine. It's breakfast time, and it's quite normal for Josishu to want her mouth for a quick slice of pleasure and then depart. But even so, something about this morning has her wanting. She's pulled onto her own bed, to kneeling between Josishu's spread thighs as she sprawls on her back, as if intending to stay for more than another swift orgasm. Han Ying does not ask yet. She simply resumes her service. But after a short time, Josishu pulls her back again. This time her small noise of protest makes it out, and Josishu rolls her eyes in what Han Ying now knows to be fond exasperation. "Get undressed," she says. "I want to see you." She obeys, carefully folding at least her outer robes. Breakfast is clearly a lost cause. "Hurry up," Josishu grouses without much real irritation. But Han Ying nevertheless sheds the rest of her clothes more quickly and climbs naked onto the bed. There's something of a thrill to be seen like this, to be naked and exposed when her lord is dressed still. A time or two they've spent a few hours like this, Han Ying naked, both her lovers clothed, while they eat and drink and talk, even attend to household matters. Han Ying tries to contribute, but typically it doesn't take her long before she's floating in her own body, content just to be present and wanted. Their hands stroke her absently, and her inner thighs grow slowly damp. It's not quite like this now, but Han Ying is just as turned on. She kneels on the bed in front of Zhou Shixu, who sits up briefly to run a hand over her body like an inspection. She drags her nails lightly over Han Ying's collarbones and chest, strokes down her stomach, flicks a thumb over her clit, and then down between the folds of her cunt. Han Ying has never not been wet around her or Wang Kasheng since they first touched her, she thinks. Two fingers push inside her, swift and practical. But it doesn't matter. Her hips jerk anyway at the lazy look on Zhou Shixu's face, as if she's trying to decide if it's worth the effort to make Han Ying come. It's this as much as the touch that has Han Ying panting on edge barely a minute later. Zhou Shixu's eyebrow raises. It's not even been 2 days, and you're already this desperate? Han Ying manages, too embarrassed to say yes. Her body is used to regular orgasms these days, and although she still may not come or touch herself without permission, a state of affairs she loves between the bouts of frustrated desperation, she comes to their bed a little more than weekly, and Wang Kasheng's appetite for Han Ying hanging from her unpredictable mercy is as great as Zhou Shixu's for her own orgasms. Frequently, Han Ying will find herself in a tucked-away spot, with Wang Kasheng's hand over her mouth and fingers inside her, tears escaping her as she struggles to hold back both her moans and her orgasm. Sometimes Wang Kasheng even lets her come. It seems to delight her to be obeyed with enthusiasm in the way that Zhou Shixu finds unremarkable. Her smile is hungry and vulpine when Han Ying opens her mouth or her legs on command, doubly so when she comes on command. Although that's hardly an active effort as much as it is relaxing her hold on herself. "I wouldn't want you learning impatience," Zhou Shixu says, removing her fingers and presenting them for Han Ying to clean. Han Ying hides a smile this way. Zhou Shixu herself has very little patience, especially where orgasms are concerned. She lies back again, waiting for Han Ying's mouth. If Han Ying needed reassurance about how much she pleased Zhou Shixu with her desire and her willingness to be denied its satisfaction, the speed and ease with which Zhou Shixu comes under her tongue once again would prove it. But she doesn't really. Zhou Shixu has told her so many times that she's good, that she's theirs, that she's beautiful when she comes, and even more beautiful when she's begging to come. Her own appearance is not something Han Ying thinks about often, but she's pleased to be thought beautiful in the eyes of her favorite people. More pleased still that it's something she does, and not some accident of fate that will fade with time and change. Zhou Shixu pulls her up the bed, unusually. These briefer encounters normally end with them rearranging their clothes and a swift kiss. But Zhou Shixu is luxuriant this morning. She pulls Han Ying close, as she usually does only in the evening, and kisses her hair. Han Ying can't hold it in. "Love you," she whispers against Zhou Shixu's jaw. Zhou Shixu tisks because she doesn't seem to know what to say to that. Any time those words have tripped out of Han Ying's mouth, but she does tighten her embrace. "Get dressed," she says a few minutes later. "There's breakfast." Han Ying is taken back to Wang Kasheng and Zhou Shixu's rooms, where there's a full breakfast spread. Did Wang Kasheng make this? her hair as she breezes towards them to press a kiss, first to Zhou Shu's lips, then to Han Ying's hairline, smells faintly of the kitchen.
That took longer than I expected, Ashu,
Wang Kaxing says, eyes bright with knowing exactly what they've been doing. Zhou Shu ignores this completely, with the good cheer of one knowing hypocrite to another. Wang Kaxing has no patience either. Han Ying considers it quite fortunate that she has enough for all three of them.
Shall we eat then? She says.
Her hair is terribly tousled, and Han Ying's must be worse. Wang Kaxing grins and sits down, encouraging Han Ying into her lap, facing away, so Han Ying's back presses against her chest. Han Ying turns her head and says,
Please?
Hopefully. She's at least as fond of Wang Kaxing's faint moments of surprise as she is by the kiss to her lips. The surprise is becoming less surprised as Han Ying does this more often. The first time, she'd been terribly nervous, unsure if she was asking too much. But the reward had been Wang Kaxing's startled pleasure, as well as a kiss. Wang Kaxing keeps kissing her as she eases both hastily donned layers off, so Han Ying is once more naked in the warm room. Wang Kaxing parts her legs, so her knees hook over the outsides of Wang Kaxing's thighs, slides her hands over Han Ying's torso and hips, and doesn't touch her cunt at all.
Stay there, she says.
Zhou Shu pours tea. Wang Kaxing serves dishes into her and Zhou Shu's bowls. There isn't one for Han Ying, who is by now getting hungry, but she will wait. Zhou Shu and Wang Kaxing pick up a discussion about the state of the garden and the possible hiring of new staff to tend it. After taking a bite or two, Zhou Shu plucks a morsel between her chopsticks and moves it to Han Ying's mouth to feed her. Han Ying, flushing redder, opens her mouth and takes it. A few moments later, Wang Kaxing lifts a cup of tea to Han Ying's lips, not interrupting for a moment her enthusiastic description of the last time she'd interviewed for staff. The words wash over Han Ying, more sound than meaning, as she is slowly fed a meal, bite by bite. Halfway through, fingers slide over her cunt, finding her wet and wanting, and press inside. Han Ying moans and cants her hips, and Wang Kaxing pinches her nipple in mild rebuke.
No, stay still.
The meal continues. She is ignored by the conversation, but in between bites, hands pat affectionately at her hair, her shoulder, the top of her thigh. It makes it more difficult not to move or make noise. She must be dripping onto the skirts of Wang Kaxing's robe. The conversation continues, punctuated by soft laughter. They've changed the subject. The breakfast dishes are emptied. Wang Kaxing's fingers slowly move in and out of her cunt, and she struggles not to move, not to make too much noise. She only half succeeds at smothering a yelp at a smack to her inner thigh, and Wang Kaxing says,
I told you to stay still. Who told you to be quiet?
And, oh, she stops trying to be quiet. They keep talking, pausing every so often to fit their words between her moans. She can no more understand what they're saying than she can divine the future. Staying still is harder when she's not also staying quiet.
Don't come.
Wang Kaxing says firmly, obviously to her as it's clearer and more into her ear.
Hold it off for as long as you can.
Yes, she says with an anguished moan as Wang Kaxing fucks her faster. There's no conversation now. Zhou Shu is leaning on Wang Kaxing, kissing her, a steadying hand on Han Ying's hip. The sounds of their kisses and the way they begin to move against each other edges her closer. She could come now if she stopped holding back. But of course she won't. She can't hold back forever, but she'll try. I'm close, she says. Please.
You're doing so well, Wang Kaxing says, kissing behind her ear in approval. Keep holding it.
I can't, she says between gasps, stomach shaking so hard she can barely get the breath to speak. I can't hold it much longer.
You can, Joseph Zhu says. You are. You're holding it. You're doing so well. Her hand squeezes and soothes. Hanying wishes it would slap or pinch her. Although, whether that would help her hold back her orgasm or bring it on is uncertain.
I really can't hold it, she pleads, every muscle in her body trembling with effort. Please stop. I can't. Please don't make me come.
You don't want to come?
There's some edge to Wang Kaxing's voice that Hanying can't think enough to understand. I'm not allowed, she wails. Please stop. I'm not allowed. I don't want to come unless I'm allowed. I can't. She can't even talk. She's about to... Wang Kaxing stops and slowly withdraws her hand, leaving her panting and shaking and so dizzy she can barely sit upright.
Thank you, Hanying says, afraid to move before the edge recedes.
Then she realizes it's not only her who's shaking. Wang Kaxing is shaking too, behind her, breath uneven.
Ying'er, she manages between breaths. Ying'er, you're so good. That's so hot, sweetheart. Come here, she says nonsensically.
But then she shuffles them both off the chair and onto the ground, sitting up where she swings a leg over Hanying's thigh, drags her face close for a starving kiss, and grinds her cunt against Hanying's thigh for a few short minutes until she's shuddering and coming herself.
Anyway, Joseph Zhu says, from where she's been watching them, legs crossed on a chair that looks a little like a throne because of the way she's holding herself. Today is a day off. Cheng Ling has canceled training. You are going to spend the day with us.
Hanying blinks. A whole day like this? Naked, serving, surrounded by their touch and their love. For each other and for her, though not quite in the same way. That doesn't matter at all. Not even parents love all their children the same. Today, she can be their favorite concubine.
We won't let you come until the sun has gone down, Joseph Zhu says. It's probably supposed to sound a little stern, but it doesn't.
Hanying smiles. Perhaps, if she begs very sweetly, they'll change their minds. But it's their choice either way. She's theirs in every way that matters. Every part of her has their finger marks imprinted there.
Yes, she says, stays where she is, kneeling naked on the floor.
Wang Kaxing retakes her seat. Hanying at length leans her head on Joseph Zhu's thigh and has her hair gently stroked while Wang Kaxing and Joseph Zhu enjoy each other's company, flirt and argue fondly and kiss. There's nowhere else she'd rather be than at their feet. The end.
Author's notes. Wang Kaxing and Joseph Zhu's POV of this goes like Wang Kaxing pointing out that Hanying has been gazing longingly at her for years and also with lust. Joseph Zhu sort of groaning about this like, ugh, I was trying not to notice.
Wang Kaxing like, she's cute though. And she'd do literally anything you asked, which is a point in her favor.
Joseph Zhu, just spit it out.
Wang Kaxing, so I think we should all fuck about it.
Joseph Zhu,
Well, I'm not making that happen. A conversation between Zhou Shixu and Wang Kaxing, lying in bed after the first threesome. Zhou Shixu: You seduced her quite thoroughly. Wang Kaxing: And so what if I did? I needed to. You had her seduced already. A wordless grumble from Zhou Shixu. She did no such thing. Han Ying just has a thing for dangerous women who can throw her around in a fight. In the whole Jianghu, her options aren't expansive. While Han Ying isn't wandering around all horny and submissive, though, it's just her showing up to take the advanced disciples training looking healthy. And all the disciples cringing because they've seen Han Ying in a lot of moods, but whistling isn't one of them. She beats the snot out of them even harder than usual and forgets to pretend it's a challenge. They ask Cheng Ling what happened, obviously, which he really can't believe they still do, because half the time he doesn't know and the other half he wishes he didn't. On first being asked, what's up with Han Ying lately? He doesn't know. Sadly, a few days later, he falls accidentally into wishing he didn't know. The end. For real this time. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!